Flags are symbols. They symbolize territory around the world, nations in that world, made up of people. What you have not seen yet, but hopefully some of you have put together. So we started with Egypt, and we're going to be praying the end here. Egypt is symbolic of Africa, particularly North Africa and around the coasts in those parts of the country, the continent of Africa. And then China, symbolic of the Asian continent, where Christians are being persecuted. And then Iraq, which is symbolic of the Middle Eastern countries, where Christians are being persecuted day and night for their faith. Why are Christians persecuted? Because they're Christians. Because they dare to name the name of Jesus Christ. There are two great persecutors of the church, always have been from the first century. Someone said that there are periods of persecution in the church, some worse than others, but you know that's not the truth. The history of the church is this: there are periods of non-persecution, but by and large, the church has never not been persecuted. The church from the very beginning has been persecuted. Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than its master. If it hates me, it'll hate you as well." And beginning in the book of Acts with Stephen and continuing to this day around the world, there has been one long and bloody march of the cross, which makes perfect sense because the founder also shed his blood for the salvation of people and the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 13, once again. Hebrews chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing so, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Father and God, in the precious name of Jesus, in these short moments, strengthen us to remember. And Father, not just today, but tomorrow and the days to come until the Lord Jesus returns. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text, it says, let brotherly love continue. I just want to start by saying that is the motivation for what we are to do. It is not the exhortation here to pray for the world. That's a different exhortation. This is an exhortation that we ought to remember brothers and sisters in Christ. Why should we remember believers in Africa, believers in Asia, believers in the Middle East that we've never met, we don't know, we don't know their families, we don't know anything about them? Why should we worry about them? And we've got enough problems here ourselves, don't we? By the way, the answer to that is yes. We do have enough problems here ourselves to take care of. But that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible sees the church, the people of God, as being one essential reality. We are a local expression of the church of Jesus Christ and his body around the world. We are a local expression of it. We are the church of Jesus Christ in the First Baptist Church in Fairborn, Ohio. But we are part of the body of Christ that exists around the globe and around the world. And they are as much a part of us in Christ as we are a part of them. And so the Bible encourages us to let brotherly love continue. The motivation for prayer, the motivation for remembering, the motivation for doing what we do is because we love the brethren. We love the people of God. And let me tell you, one of my great heartaches, and I believe one of the reasons why we don't remember the brothers around, the sisters around the world, because we have trouble demonstrating brotherly love to one and sisterly love to one another here. And so because we don't do it here, we don't do it there either. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews gets his finger right on the very beginning point. Before he ever commands them to do anything, he commands them to remember the love of the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Don't let it stop. Look at the second thing. He says, demonstrate hospitality. Demonstrate hospitality. If you love the brethren, then you're going to open your arms to them. That's the idea. Do you ever invite people into your home you don't like? Maybe you have to sometimes, but by and large, we're not hospitable to people we don't like, we don't want to be around. We kind of find reasons to not open the door. If you've never opened your door to a door-to-door salesperson, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh no, another salesman, hide! But when it comes to the body of Christ, just let hospitality, open your hearts, open your arms to those outside. Notice the interesting statement. He says, and some of you who are doing this have entertained angels unaware, have entertained God's messengers without even knowing it. And then he says, this amazing statement, remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them. Remember the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. This is an imperative and it's active. Remembering is not a passive thing, it's an active thing. How many of you have ever done something with a family member and like a brother or sister when you were children and then 30 years later, I'm being kind to myself, 30 years later, you get around the family table or you have Christmas or you're at a birthday and you'll say, remember. And the older you get, the harder it gets to remember those things. The details get a little fuzzy. And you have to think for just a moment, oh yeah, I remember that. It's not in the warp and woof of life and daily moving and passing that we stop and say, I need to remember my brothers and sisters in Christ who are prisoners as though I myself were a prisoner. I need to remember those who are suffering bodily as though I myself were suffering. It's a conscious thing. It's a commitment issue to remember. Now, in the first century, it was a little easier because most people in the church knew someone who was suffering for the faith around the Roman Empire. Someone knew someone who was paying a price for being a believer. See, when you are connected to people that way, it's a little easier to remember. I was reading the other day just about, and I don't have a lot of time to develop this, but I was reading the other day about the reality of one of the reasons why it's so hard to teach history is because we think like storytellers. Well, that happened long ago. It doesn't affect me now. And the truth is that the Bible's very clear that until Jesus comes back, it's going to affect us. And beloved, we don't know, and I want you to hear, we don't know, but the day may come when it affects us here. Where we have to say no. Dr. Moeller was just talking about something recently. He was meeting with the president of a Fortune 500 company, and they were asking him about issues of morality and the LGBT movement, and you can listen to it on his website. And Dr. Moeller asked this man, he said, so if a person in your company were to be very pleasant and kind and not discriminatory, but yet they personally weren't willing to celebrate that diversity. They weren't willing to have that in their office or to be public identified with that. What would be the chances of advancement in your company to the executive level? And the response was, they would have no future advancement. Because to advance in our company, it requires you to score high on 7 points. And one of those is the celebration of diversity. It may come down to in the future, maybe the near future, where naming the name of Christ is going to cost us something. Remember those in prison as though you were in bonds with them, and remember those who are suffering as though you yourself were suffering. And I'm going to close this quickly. I have a couple of things that I just want to share with you this morning. Actually, I've got 4 quick ones for application. I have a little picture, and by the way, I want you to write this down if you don't have it. If you're a computer person, a website you should become familiar with is persecution.com. It's the place of the voice of the martyrs, as well as some other places, but they've got a map where persecution is the hottest right now for Christians around the world. And if you look at it, you can't see this, but it's on the map, you will see a lot of red dots. And I didn't have time to get it put up on the screen. Those red dots are in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. That's where Christians are suffering the most today. In China, in Africa, in the Middle East, in North Korea, in Indonesia, in India, in Pakistan. Noticeably absent in those interesting areas. In the Middle East, Israel. Just a thought. So as we think about remembering, I want to give you 4 things. You might want to write these down. We need to remember the prisoners because through their suffering, they are advancing the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says this to them. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Remember the prisoners, because by their willingness to suffer, they advance the gospel. They are willing to name the name of Christ. All you have to do to avoid persecution is to not name the name of Christ. Is to go along to get along. Is to keep silent. That's all you have to do. But to do that would be unfaithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So wherever they name the name of Christ, they do so for his glory, at their peril, for the advance of the gospel. So remember those in prison because they advance the gospel. Secondly, remember the prisoners because their example should make you bolder in your witness. It should make me bolder in my witness. Those of you who know me know I'm a person who likes to keep up with interesting things. And my wife says I have a brain that likes to remember little things like that. My oldest brother says I have a head full of useless knowledge. I tell him he's a highly skilled barbarian, so what's the difference? But I'm holding an illustration here. And by the way, Nathan, I need your help. Okay? What country is this, Nathan? That's correct. This is Iran. He knows his flags. Those of us who grew up in the 70s know Iran for a very specific reason, and it's not a positive reason. They are now known as the world's largest supporter of terror around the world. Hezbollah and other groups such as that are funded by the Iranians. It's been the largest exporter of terrorist activity in the world. But there's something else happening in this country. Little do most people know that Iran houses the fastest growing Muslim movement in the world, Muslims converting to Christianity. In Iran, desperate for God, Iranian converts to Islam are standing publicly and courageously sharing their faith in Christ in a nation that ranks among the top 10 persecutors of Christianity in the world. Doctors, students, and housewives are leaving their empty lives governed by Islamic oppression and coming into the fullness of Christ and are being willing to risk everything, their homes, their jobs, their families, their freedom, and even their lives to follow Christ in Iran, because they are desperate for God to bring the light of the gospel into people's lives. The former president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, angrily declared that over 500 to 600 Muslims were converting to Christianity monthly in his nation. But we know from inside information that the numbers are actually much, much higher. Three enemies of Christianity: the devil, religion, and the state work together in Iran to seek to intimidate and silence the Christian witness for the gospel. Nevertheless, God has a people and a voice in this nation. So remembering the prisoners should embolden us in our witness. Or to put it this way, if they can do it there, we should do it here. The third thing I wanted us to do about remembering is remembering the prisoners, because their suffering could someday be ours. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to, the author of Hebrews wants us to identify with them, because what's happening to them could happen to us. In the first century, it did happen to them. In the second century, it did happen to them. And in the third century. Fourthly and finally, we should remember those who are in chains, because it reminds us that prayer is necessary. 168, this is the latest stats I could find, 168,000 Christians die in the two-thirds world simply because they are Christians. Simply because they name the name of Christ. So as we open up the altars here in just a second, there are places for you to identify and pray in those nations. You will see nations here from the African continent. You will see nations from the Asian continent. You will see nations from the Middle East. God is not silent, and God's voice is not silent to those of us in this room, that we remember those who are prisoners as though we were in chains with them. And we remember those who are suffering bodily as though we ourselves were suffering. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And here is the invitation. As the Spirit leads, come. Get your card. But don't just get one because you think that it's something you should do. Get one because you're going to pray for people. Get one because you're going to remember them and be obedient to the calling of God. Father and God, this is your invitation to it for us who are believers to remember those who are in bonds in these nations around the world. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.